Well, let's pray as we prepare to open up the scriptures. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk tonight about three phases or three periods that are connected to God's promises. Let me ask, is there anybody here who's waiting on God's promise? So let me talk to you about three periods, or you could say three phases. The first one is the time of leaving. You've received into your heart the promise, but you've got to leave something in order to go, to get that promise. And the second period is the actual time of going. Leaving is one thing, but if you've ever left, you know sometimes you have to keep going. It's not just one simple step. It's not just turning in a direction. There is a going that requires many steps. And the third is the time of coming into. And Abraham's life illustrates these three phrases or periods. The first phase of the promise that Abraham received involved leaving. Do you remember that? God spoke to him and said, I am calling you, and I am going to use you. I'm going to bless you, but you have to do something. God said, lech lecha, get yourself up and go. And so Abraham had to get up and get out of the land of his fathers. He had to make a leaving. For Abraham, the promise required leaving. Sometimes God's call in our lives works this way. We have to leave something, or we have to leave somewhere, or we even have to leave someone. Sometimes we have to leave a way of thinking or a way of being as well. Now, the second phase of the promise involves the actual going. Leaving is only the beginning, it turns out. After you leave, you have to keep going. And the going is an extension of the leaving. But at some point, the going takes on a life of its own. It has its own challenges. It has its own temptations. Think about the exodus of the children of Israel. There was excitement when they left Egypt. But the going required that they had to keep going out of Egypt. And do you remember how quickly the excitement turned to fear and panic when they were trapped at the Red Sea? And then they made it through that, and they were rejoicing and singing and dancing, and it's like, this is terrific, and they had to keep going. And then there were all these problems around the food. People were complaining, we don't like the food. It's the same thing every day. What is it anyway? The going was tough. The going is a time of great transition, and often when you're going, there's loss, too. And there can even be mourning. There can be a lot of missing, if you will. We leave something and we go towards something, but during the going period, there is typically a certain kind of insufficiency. Do you remember when the children of Israel were out in the desert and they were eating the manna and they were thinking, you know, this is not a good deal? And all of a sudden, one remembered the melons of Egypt, and another one remembered the garlic of Egypt. Someone else remembered the leeks of Egypt. And they started thinking, oh, we had it so good. Why did we leave? Let's go back. And when you're going, there are temptations. The period of going was for the children of Israel a great temptation about going back to Egypt. And during the time of going, there is a temptation to go back the way that you came. And that's when we're vulnerable to second-guessing ourselves, and we say, why did I do this? What was I thinking? Maybe I can go back. Sometimes people leave a job, and they know they need to in order to keep going. And then later on, they say, maybe I can get that job back. The process is almost a universal process. We need to be prepared. Paul recognized that life includes leaving and going, and he described it this way in the Attitudes. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, let me see if you have a Bible. Can I see if you have one? You know, it's generally getting better. I can't say 100%, but we're working on it. Paul wrote this, brothers, and you could say brothers and sisters, that would be accurate. I don't regard myself as having fully laid hold of it all yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Can you say that with me? Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Say that with me. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. You see, the going requires that we forget what lies behind us and that we reach forward, that we aim in the direction of the future. You cannot drive forward by looking in your rearview mirror. Sailors say you can't navigate by looking at the wake of your boat. Proverbs offers very practical wisdom, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Now, where would you find Proverbs in the Bible? Right after Psalms. That's good. If you don't know where Psalms is, that's the person sitting next to you. If they don't know, just keep going down the row until someone knows where it is. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 27, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." And when it uses this phrase, straight ahead, it uses a form of the Hebrew, yishar. And I'll never forget, Sandy and I were lost in a town in Israel. We were trying to find some friends. They'd given us directions, but nothing was working. We were getting more and more lost, and we stopped, and we asked for directions. Now, I don't know why we asked for directions, because I didn't think we'd understand them. But the fellow who was giving us directions just said, "Yashar, yashar, yashar." That means straight, straight, straight. And then yamin, which means the right. It's like, well, I think we could do that. And eventually we found it. And this is using that same kind of directional word. It says yashar, straight ahead. Now, in Russian, it's priyama. How many of you knew that? Not too many. Okay. I could have fooled you. I could have made up anything. And among the soldiers in Israel, they say kadima, which means forward. Go straight forward. And Proverbs 4 continues in verse 26. It says, "Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your feet from evil." You see, this is giving some clear direction. It says, when you have left and you're going, you need to go in a certain direction. Go straight. Don't veer off one side. Don't veer off to the other side. You have to know where you're going and fix your eyes. You have to become single-minded and a very clear vision. Now, here's the good news. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it describes how the Holy Spirit will guide you when you're trying to move straight ahead. Isaiah 30, verse 21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" See, that's one of the promises that God has made to us. When you are trying to go with Him and you have left behind whatever you need to leave behind and you're going forward, you're not going alone. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And even when you start veering, the Holy Spirit will be like a voice behind you saying, "Ah, no, go this way. Go that way." He's better than a GPS. "This is the way. Walk in it." The letter to the Hebrews adds another important detail. Keep Yeshua in focus. It says this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Yeshua." Now, how do you do that? Before we go on, how do you do that since He's not physically here? Well, one of the best ways to do it is to read the scriptures and to read the gospels about Yeshua and to read the words of Yeshua, because it will cause you to get him in clear focus. You'll see him more clearly. His words will become alive to you. And as you grow stronger in your relationship with him, you'll keep him in mind. Let us fix our eyes on Yeshua, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of Hashem. Now let's go back to Abraham and think about this. Every step that Abraham took that moved him away from the land of his fathers moved him closer to the land of God's promises. That is good news. If you can leave whatever it is you've got to leave and you can keep going, you put some distance between you and what you had to leave. Every step that you take, as long as you're going in the right direction, gets you further away from what you need to have left behind and closer to. Now, some of you, you're waiting and you've been waiting for a long time. And I would want to encourage you and say, keep going. Keep going. Don't go back the way you came. Don't go to what you left. Keep going forward, because every day you go forward is a day that you're closer to getting where you're trying to get. I'll say it like this. I want to speak to some of you who are looking. You're looking for a relationship and you don't know where it is, and you're disappointed because you had one and then it didn't work out, and you had another and it didn't work out. And I can tell you, well, you put those behind you and keep going, because what's ahead is not those relationships, but a relationship that God is preparing for you. And if you can keep going, you'll get there. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you. Now, he may tell you, you've got to do this, this, and that. Just like, do you remember Isaac did not want Jacob to get a wife from the locals? Abraham didn't want Isaac to get a wife from the locals. But they had to do two different things to get wives. For Isaac, Abraham sent his servant, right? Back to the homeland. Because Abraham did not want Isaac to go back there. You know why? He thought if he goes back there, he'll stay. On the other hand, when it was time for Jacob to get a wife, he did go back. And he stayed just a little bit, not too long, and he came back, right? So you can't make a rule. Do you go or not go, or how do you do these things? The main thing is you have to be led by God's Spirit. You have to receive clear enough direction that you know that you're moving forward in faithfulness to God. Well, let's think about the third period or the third phase. It's the coming into the promise. You see, you got the leaving. That's period one. That's when we only see from afar. And you've got the going. That's the second period. And that's when we're on the way. We see from a perspective that's getting closer and closer. It's not as far away as it was. We're moving. We're making progress. And then you've got the third period, the coming into. And during that period, that's when you see what is at hand. Now, let me see if I can compare this to something some of you have had the experience of. How many here have actually gone to the land of Israel? Okay, fair number of us. You remember what it was like to make those plans to leave the United States and to go to the land of Israel? How many can still remember? I've got the sharp mind of a 90-year-old these days, but I can remember that. You remember what it was like? Probably most flew. Did anybody go another way? I didn't think. Okay, so we all flew, and we flew from here to there somehow. And there is nothing like the coming into. When you land in Eretz Yisrael after that first flight, if you can remember that. It's incredible. I remember the first time Sandy and I went to Israel together. It was not my first time in Israel, but it was her first time. And it was our first time together. And we when the plane touched down on the runway, everybody on the plane started applauding.
Hallelujah.
It was just a spontaneous outburst. Did anybody else have that experience? Several of you have had that experience. And then when people got off the plane, you know, that time when we went, they brought one of those staircases that connects to the plane. And you have to, you know, walk down the stairs and onto the tarmac, and then you come into the building. Well, as people got off the plane and they walked down the staircase, when their feet got off the last step and they touched the ground of Eretz Yisrael, I remember how many just fell to the ground, started kissing the ground and thanking God for being there. How many had that experience or saw that? Several of us have seen that. Many just cried tears of joy and even tears of recognition. It's like, I'm home. Even if that's not home, you know, in a residential sense, there's a kind of homeliness to it. And in the coming into, that's when you experience the reality of the promise. Now, there's another way that you could describe these three phases. The promise, the hope, and the receiving. Let's say those together. The promise, the hope, and the receiving. The promise, that's when the promise is written on your heart. And the hope, that's that whole period when you're moving towards the promise, but you don't have it yet. And then the receiving, that's when you actually receive the reality of what was promised to you. Let's look again at Hebrews chapter 11. Starting in verse 8, it describes all of this. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Do you see that? He obeyed and he went. So he had to leave, he had to go in order to receive. Even though he didn't know where he was going. How many of you can relate to that? There's a promise that you're waiting for and you don't know where you're going. You've left something, you're moving, but you don't know the ultimate destination.
Amen.
By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, like an immigrant, like someone who's living in the land, but it's still a little bit unfamiliar. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Say that with me. Heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. It goes on, verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, he was enabled to become a father because. Now look at this. He considered him faithful who made the promise. How was it that Abraham was able to become a father in his old age? It wasn't that he held on to the promise. It was that he held on to the one who made the promise. And he believed that the one who made the promise was faithful to keep the promise. Now, sometimes people trust in something that's one step removed from God. There are people who trust in their faith rather than God. It's like, I believe in prayer, some people say. Well, praying is good, but I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God.
Amen.
My trust is not in prayer. My trust is in God who hears prayer. Abraham considered him faithful who had made the promise. And it goes on, verse 12, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Verse 13, wrapping up a description of many people, including Abraham and Sarah, who are mentioned earlier in this chapter, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. That, I want that to be said of me, that I was living by faith when I die. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Now, here's the thing. They did receive some of what was promised, but not all of it. You see, some of what God promised to Abraham required that Isaac be faithful and fulfill certain things in his lifetime. Some things that God promised to Abraham required that Jacob be faithful and receive what was promised. And so Abraham had to wait not just on the promises that were for him, but on the next generation and the next generation. And part of the promises of God were to make the descendants of Abraham a blessing for the whole world and to bring the light of the God of Abraham to the whole world. And that is being fulfilled through Messiah Yeshua. And so they didn't receive all, but they received the promises. And they were satisfied. And the key was Abraham considered him faithful who made the promise. I want to encourage you, hang on not only to the promise, hang on to the one who made the promise. Live by faith. And take heart in this regarding Messiah. We are now receiving what was promised. Isaiah 48:17 says it. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. God directed Abraham. He directed Isaac. He directed Jacob. He promises to pour out his Holy Spirit on you and on me in order to direct us. Now, does anybody need direction? I do. I want to pray for all the people who need direction. If you don't need direction, that's fine. Congratulations. That either means you know how to get where you're going or you've got a lot of testosterone. You know why men have testosterone is so we can keep going even when we're lost. And so that when we're lost, we won't stop and ask for directions. I think that's one of the mysterious sides of testosterone. But if you're not satisfied with being lost and wandering and you want to know what are the next steps that God has for you, or maybe you know those steps, but you need to keep going in them because you face challenges, stand up if you're in this condition. Hallelujah. Some of us are, not all of us, but some of us are in this condition, and we just want to present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you that you do not leave us behind. And you've promised to lead us. You've promised to pour out your Holy Spirit upon every man, every woman, every adult and child who puts their trust in Messiah Yeshua. We thank you for that promise. And we are grateful, Lord, that you do lead us. I pray for those who need encouragement right now, who are facing temptations to go back the way they came. I pray for those who are even at the point of trying to decide should they leave what they need to leave in order to go into what's been promised to them. And I pray for singleness of mind, clearness of vision, and singleness of heart as well. Lord, I pray for those who are discouraged because they feel like they have just been going and going and going and they're unclear what's next and when they're going to receive all that you've promised to them. And I pray you would strengthen them to take yet more steps to keep going and to hold on to you who is faithful, who made these promises. Thank you for your faithfulness to your Jewish people, Lord. We know that your faithfulness to Am Yisrael is a testimony that you are faithful, that you keep your promises, and that we who trust in you will be rewarded for that trust. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you stand up and just receive a blessing from the Lord? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.